Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light.
Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Brandy Mincer, is a homeschool mom of two boys, ages 13 and 7.
She and her husband are associate pastors at Real Ministries in Harrison, Arkansas.
She has a degree in creative writing from Arkansas Tech and has now published two children's books. Good morning, Brandy. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Brandy, I read your little book and I just loved it. We'll talk about that in a minute. First of all, I wanted to ask you, and I ask several of my author guests this question, what childhood experiences inspired you to be a writer? Is it something you thought about when you were young and you couldn't wait for the teacher to assign an essay in school, or did writing come to you later on?
I think for me, it occurred later on. Now, when I was younger, my grandpa was a great storyteller. He was constantly telling us jokes or stories about when he was a kid. He would just make us laugh. That was his purpose, was to make us laugh. And I always knew that I wanted to be that kind of person as well. He really inspired me to take storytelling and do that for my children. And that's really where this book started, was just by telling the story to my boys. So definitely was something probably early on, but the spark didn't really light until I had children of my own.
Okay, and that makes sense. And I wanted to comment, too, you have two boys, 13 and 7. Boy, that's kind of a little bit of a difference in age there. And I bet you it's kind of interesting in your household.
It is very interesting, especially when it comes to homeschooling, because I'm having to switch gears from a first grader and learning phonics and learning how to spell words correctly, then to, for instance, today we did parabolas and slope-intercept form in math for eighth grade. So it has been kind of something that takes a while to get used to for teaching.
Now you probably have a feel for how those 19th century school teachers felt when they had the one-room schoolhouse, huh?
Exactly. I cannot imagine having a room full of children that you're having to teach that span from 5 to 13 or 14 or 15. I cannot imagine that poor school teacher.
That would be kind of a challenge for sure. Brandy, of all the genres that are out there, what encouraged you or inspired you to choose the children's book genre?
Children are so impressionable. And I believe if we want to see any change in our world, it starts by training our youth. The enemy, he knows this. And that's why we see so many children's programs these days that introduce things that aren't righteous, that children shouldn't be hearing. And I feel like God's called me with his help to combat what the enemy is trying to do. I'm trying to replace fear and anxiety with truth and with love. I believe if children are empowered with the truth of the Word of God, then they're going to be more likely to run to it than to run to that bait that the enemy dangles in front of them.
That sounds absolutely wonderful, Brandy, and it's a blessing that we have people like you who are willing to write to our younger people. I could not imagine being able to write a children's story. So I very much admire those of you who do.
I feel like it's probably easier for me because I still feel like a kid at heart. I know I'm referring back to my grandpa again, but I still feel like he's 85, but he's still a kid at heart and still loves to joke even to this day. And so to me, it's something that comes easy. But, you know, God chooses different genres for just different people.
Yes, for sure he does. Brandy, many children's authors use animals to illustrate the point of their story, I think because children are drawn to animals. And you see a lot of books that feature horses and dogs and cats and animals that we think of as household pets, more or less, or farm animals or things like that. But you chose sea animals. What inspired that choice? And do you have any experience with living near the sea?
I actually don't have any experience with living by the sea. I was fascinated with oceans and really any form of body of water, lakes and different things like that. When I was a kid, we went to the lake almost every weekend and swam or fish or were on boats or something like that. But the real reason that I started with sea animals was the idea for the first story, The Clam Before the Storm. It actually originated with a Facebook error. Someone had put on Facebook, "It's so clam outside tonight," instead of "so calm." And being the jokester that I am, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that is too funny." So I started joking with my friends, like, "You need to clam down instead of calm down." And it was just kind of a running joke. And I thought, man, that would be a great idea for a story, The Clam Before the Storm, instead of The Calm Before the Storm. So I just started writing it for fun. To my boys, this same clam going around telling others that a storm is coming and being afraid that a storm is coming, and all the while he doesn't know it, but they actually live in an aquarium. And that first one, after I published it, people were asking me, "Hey, when's the next book coming out? When are you going to do another book?" And I had never thought about, honestly, doing another one. We'll pray about it. Titles kept coming to us with different sea animals, taking his friends and telling each one of their stories.
Well, I love it. I just love the play on words with the title, and I really enjoyed the story. And it was so cute. And I did grow up near the ocean. I grew up out on the South Shore of Long Island, but I had an aunt and uncle who managed an apartment co-op right on Dune Road, which is right there on the Atlantic Ocean. And we used to spend a lot of time out there on the weekends. And so it just really resonated with me to hear a story about sea animals. It was a lot of fun to read.
Well,
so would you expand a little further, Brandy, on what is the message in your story? You told us the basis of the storm coming, but what is the message that you would like to share with young people?
The overall message of the story is that fear can happen and does happen. However, we don't have to stay stuck in that fear. God is our help. Psalms 46 says he's our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. So, yes, there's going to be difficult times, but he's going to be present in those times. He promises that he's not going to leave us or forsake us. And it's such a great promise. And I feel like children need to know that, and adults need to know that. And,
yes.
You know, Sam Clam is afraid of this storm from a whoosh that he feels, and he's running and he's telling everyone. And how familiar does that sound when something happens and we're running and we're telling other people about this fear that we have rather than going to the Lord with our fears? Of course, you know, when they finally get to Myrtle Sea Turtle, she tells them, "Hey, this can never happen because we live in an aquarium," and they find out that the whoosh is actually from the scuba man cleaning the glass. So I just wanted kids to know, you know, things happen, circumstances in our life, we can't change those, but God is there, he's present, and he's here to help our fears.
Yes, and you know, as I was thinking about the show today and thinking about this theme that you wanted to share, Brandy, I found years ago, it was called a worry table, and I can't even remember where I found it, but I had it on my computer for a long, long time, and as I went from one laptop to another, somehow I lost it. But one of the things I remember is that I can't remember what the percentage of it was, but the percentage was very high of things that we worry about that never come to pass.
Right.
And I think that is very true. We can worry ourselves sick over
a case in point. Up here in Colorado.
Colorado Rockies are a big deal. And I had some tickets that I got really cheap through our senior center. And a friend and I were going to go, and her granddaughter, and I was going to be driving. I am not a good driver in the city. And I was just really, really nervous about the thought of having to drive up there to that stadium. And for weeks, I was just kind of really anxious about it. And then the pandemic came along and we never went. So not that the pandemic was a good thing, but what I'm saying is this event that just dominated my fears for such a long time, it never even came to pass. And I think there's so many things in our lives that are that way. Or a lot of times the fear is so intense that it's a lot worse than what really happens.
Right, right.
So I think that's a message that we need to get to our young people, especially today, Brandy, when we look at all of the exposure that they get to world situations and things with TV and social media and all this. I mean, every time anything bad happens, that information spreads like wildfire. And if it impacts us as adults, I'm sure it really has to be impacting kids. So seeing someone like you come out with a book like you have is just a wonderful thing.
Thank you so much. And I agree. Sometimes we have just got to turn off that voice, whether it's coming through the television or whether it's that voice in our head that is just driving us into worry and fear. You just have to turn it off sometimes. I know we probably stopped watching the news around the time that the pandemic happened just because it was nothing but fear. And I'm like, I cannot handle this any longer. I can't listen to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have to learn how to turn those voices off.
Yep, absolutely. I agree with you. Well, since we do on this show, we do a darkness to light theme, I would like to ask you, how does your book relate to life experiences that you have had with fear? Has there been anything special in your life that was a really dark time for you? And how did you handle that fear and uncertainty, and how did you come out of it?
In 2021, we went on a family vacation. My mom, my dad, myself, and my husband and two boys and my brother. My brother is 7 years younger than me. So we went on this vacation to Branson, Missouri in 2021. While we were there, my dad got COVID. So and my mom, they left early. And a couple of days after that, he was actually admitted to the hospital. And then a few days after that, he had to be put on a ventilator. So after 10 days or so, my brother had also been diagnosed with COVID, but it didn't present itself in an extreme manner like my dad's. So This has probably been, I don't know, 11 or 12 days that my father had been on the ventilator, and my mom calls me on a Sunday morning and she said, "Hey, your brother, he feels like he's having a panic attack." He lived over like an hour away. So she said, "I'm going to go up there and check on him." Actually, before she could make it to his apartment, he lived alone. Before she could make it there, he passed. And so that was very, it just kind of hit us all because that was very unexpected. He was 32. So,
Brandy. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
It was very hard. You know, you don't expect being the older sibling for your younger sibling, much younger than you, to pass before you. You know, that was very difficult. That was on a Sunday. And then the next morning, she got a call that there was nothing else they could do for my dad. And he passed away as well on Monday. So kind of two deaths in a little over 24 hours to immediate family.
Oh, my
family.
Goodness.
So it can certainly strike fear into anyone's heart to have to go through that. It was after this event, I kind of said, not in a demeaning way to the Lord, but I just said, "God, what are you doing? You know, I know that you are good, and I know that you have our good in mind. So just show me what it is that is the outcome of this," you know, a very raw moment that I had. And slowly, I felt like the Lord was impressing on me that I needed to publish this story. This story about Sam Clam had actually, I had written it like 4 or 5 years prior to my dad and my brother passing. And I really felt like I needed to go back and add a verse into it about fear and publish it to help children that were struggling with fear and anxiety even due to COVID. I mean, that is what took away, you know, half of my immediate family. And I feel like that was such a struggle for so many people during those, you know, during 2021 and 2020. I just felt I need to publish this. I need to get it out there for kids that are struggling with this. And it also helped a lot of adults, too, that read it, that were like, it's such a simple message, but it's so true that we don't need to worry about anything but pray about everything. And it says everything. It doesn't say everything, but there's nothing too small, there's nothing too large that he can't take care of. He's still in control of it all.
Wow, Brandy. Oh, my goodness. That has got to have been such a dark time for your family to have lost two of your loved ones within, my goodness. I mean, I lost my mom and my husband within like 5 months of each other, but 24 hours, that is just almost unbelievable to think about. Although I guess it happened to a lot of people that whose families were affected by COVID. So, oh my, well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Brandy. And yes, I think that the Lord did speak to you and encourage you to get this story out there. And what a wonderful blessing that you answered that call.
Yes, thank you. I feel honored to be able to be used in whatever manner that he wants to use me in. It was, you know, it could have been a very, very dark time, but with the Lord, we have hope that we will see them again. We have hope that his plan is better than ours. You know, that veil of humanity, we can't see what's on the other side. And so we just hung on to this verse. And, you know, when people would see us in public, you know, it would always be, oh, how are you? You know, how is it going? And I remember just smiling and being like, I'm good. I really am good. And I think it threw a lot of people off that they were met with a smile and a genuine, I'm good. You know, God's got this. It's been a wild ride since then, for sure.
I know, and it amazes me. I have a friend right now who is dealing with horrific physical pain. Her husband is ill as well, and she just keeps on keeping on, and she has the most amazing faith, and it just inspires me so much to hear people like her and people like you who can look past the here and now into the future. And I read something from a lady I interviewed not too long ago about prayer. And she talked about how when we pray for our loved ones, our friends, we tend to pray for the immediate, their health, their safety, their well-being, good job, whatever. But how often do we pray for the long-term, the spiritual side of people, which is what is going to endure? Because a nice home and a good job and financial security and all these things, they're going to pass away. They're not going to mean anything to us 100 years from now, you know? So, yeah, it's a wonderful outlook to have, and you are very blessed to be able to sustain through all of that. I'm sure you still went through a great deal of grief and heartache over the loss of two very special people in your life. We'll take a break here where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen. My guest today is Brandy Mintzer, author of the children's books The Clam Before the Storm and Fay Wray Lost Her Way. If you would like to listen to this episode again or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That's spelled PattySheen.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to archived episodes. Under each episode is a More Information tab that provides links to guest websites, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview with Brandy. Brandy, I know that you have another book out. Would you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, so the title is Fay Wray Lost Her Way. And so it basically tells her story. She is in the aquarium because they've all now found out that they live in an aquarium. And it's Taco Tuesday. because when I was praying about what should the day be that this story takes place, the Lord kept saying, Taco Tuesday, Taco Tuesday. And I'm like, why? Why Taco Tuesday? And I began to research manta rays. And when they are born, they are wrapped up like baby burritos. And so I thought, okay, so that's why we're doing Taco Tuesday. So anyways, it's Taco Tuesday, and she doesn't know it, but her baby brother is being born on Taco Tuesday. And she starts to become a little bit jealous because the people in the aquarium aren't watching her behind glass anymore. And she tries to figure out ways to get people to notice her more. She runs into her old friends, Sam Clam and Sid Squid, and they help her try to become more noticeable, and none of the things that they do work. And she starts becoming sad and goes off alone and decides she needs to go back to her mother and talk about it. And her mom kind of reels her back in and says, you're God's masterpiece. You're created to do different things than your brother, but that doesn't make you less special. She says, you know, don't lose your way. He's just getting attention right now because he's brand new. I initially wrote it because with my brother and I being 7 years apart, I was the only grandchild. I was the only child, obviously. And so I got all the attention. And when he was born, so was my first cousin. My mother's sister also had a child. They were 6 days apart. And so it was like twins coming into the family at once. You can hear me on VHS tapes from like 1989. And I'm like, hey, look what I got. Hey, look at what I got at Christmas. And everyone's like, shh, the babies are opening their presents. You know? So it was just like a big, huge deal at seven to be the apple of everyone's eye to suddenly you feel like no one even cares that you're alive. Of course, I know that's not the case being a mother now, but it's what it felt like as a seven-year-old. So I did dedicate the book to my baby brother that passed away, because her baby brother is named Jay Ray, and that's the way she feels toward him at the beginning. It's really about being God's masterpiece and being made special. Even though you may have a brother or sister, it doesn't necessarily mean you have the same personality as them, or you tell the joke the same way, or you laugh the same way, or you do a cartwheel the same way. Each one of us is created differently to do the things that God has planned for us.
And isn't it neat the way that God takes your life experiences and puts that creative bug in you that says, hey, you can take this experience and make it into a story that will be an inspiration to others. I love that.
Oh, 100%. The creative process is definitely my favorite part. Just when it all comes together and things are just firing in your mind and you can't write fast enough to get it on paper or on the laptop, that's just the best, most exhilarating part for sure about writing.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about your publishing process. How was that for you? Did you publish through a publishing company, or did you self-publish your books?
I self-publish through a company called Life Rich Publishing.
Okay.
You do have to send them your idea, your manuscript, and they approve of it or kind of reject it. So that's something that was brand new to me. Even though I have a degree in creative writing, I do not remember them instructing us how to get published. So that would have been, you know, a good asset to have with a degree. But when I first started to have the idea of publishing, I did Google, you know, companies that are looking for Christian children's books, things of that manner. And it was one of the first ones that came up. I know that you can use Amazon and KDP Publishing, but I wasn't as familiar with that. And they really just took everything, and it was so simple. I just sent them the manuscript. I sent them the files of the illustrations, and very simple, easy, boom, done. They did all the work.
Nice. Well, congratulations. I course, I had the opportunity to read your first book, but I haven't read the second one, but it sounds like it would be really good as well. So I may just pick it up on Amazon one of these days, and even though I'm way older than your audience, but that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's on Amazon and all the other platforms. Another fun fact is I also had plushies manufactured to go along with these books. So there is a Sam Clam plushie, and there is a Fay Wray plushie that go along with the books. Kind of like when you walk into Kohl's and they have the books with the plushies. I thought that was a fantastic idea, and my boys, they love things like that. I think most kids do. And so that's been a real success. Also, with the books, I have a lot of parents that say, oh, my kids, they sleep with Sam Clam every night. It helps them to not be afraid to sleep by themselves. They always say, oh, Sam says, don't worry about anything. So it's been amazing to have those to go along with the books. And with the publishing part, I would love to be traditionally published. That would be a dream. Mm-hmm. I am just now looking into what all that entails. I know you need a literary agent. So I'm looking into that now just because that would be a dream, obviously. It would be nice to be paid to publish rather than having to pay to publish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going back to what you were talking about, though, with your little plushies or whatever you call them, I don't even know the terminology anymore because it's been a long time since I dealt with a little one. But I have a friend who does a Zuggy the Pug series. And she has a company that manufactures these little stuffed animals, these little Zuggies, really cute. So that is a real innovative idea because you're right. Any kind of little huggy thing that children can have just, I think, kind of emphasizes the message, you know? So, oh, yeah, what a great idea. Well, good for you. Good for you. And, yeah, I know what you mean about wanting to be traditionally published because I always said I would never, ever self-publish a book. And, well, the funny thing is I always said, too, I would never, ever write a Christmas story, and I did both. So I think there's times when God says, oh, yeah, you are going to do this. Well, Brandy, I don't think I was aware of this, or it didn't really come to my attention so much, that you are an associate pastor.
Yes, my husband down and there I, and, we are.
Yeah, yeah. Share with us, there are so many different aspects to ministry. What is your particular passion? Do you like working with younger people, older people, married couples? What is kind of your particular niche that you really enjoy?
That's a hard one. I know when we very first got married, we did youth ministry, you know, the teenage youth ministry. And we did that for a while before we felt like we were being called to do something else. And so we became associate pastors. We had been training some people under us to take over the youth ministry. So we've been associate pastors now probably about 12 years. It's been great. Our church has more people that are actually older than us than younger than us. So we've been ministering to people that are in their 50s and 60s. And sometimes that does feel a little strange being in your 40s and ministering to people that are older than you because you just kind of feel like, I hope this is right, what I'm saying. I also help with our VBS program that we do at our church. And I really love VBS. It is so much fun getting to spend a week with kids and watching them grow and watching the light bulbs come off. So probably it is the younger crowd that gets me the most. Like I said, it's probably because I'm a kid at heart still. I like to do all the childish things. So it would probably be the younger ones for sure.
Brandy, in your pastoring experience, is there certain scripture that you have found that is relevant to helping people deal with worry and anxiety?
One of the main set of scriptures that I start to pray when I'm feeling some fear or anxiety coming in my own life would be 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I will pray that out loud. I'll pray that to myself to calm myself down when those things are happening. And I have told people about that before. Praying scriptures is one of the best ways to really, I feel like, communicate God's promises in that, you know, they will happen. Now, in that scripture, it does say he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, meaning fear is a spirit. And we have to combat that with the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So the enemy would love nothing more than to entangle this in this fear cycle and take our freedom away from us. Another great one that we have tried to memorize as a church is the entire chapter of Psalms 91. It's really not that long.
Wow.
But it just speaks of God's promises, of his protection over and over again. It says we live in his shelter. We take refuge in his wings, under his pinions. He takes us from the plague of calamities, the traps of the hunter. It's just a very good set of scriptures to pray over your family, to pray over your own heart. And then, of course, the scripture from the book is Philippians 4:6-7. Says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience his peace that exceeds anything we can understand. When you have no understanding of what he's doing, when you have no understanding of why suddenly, mm-hmm. you know, your younger brother and your father is passing very suddenly, then you need the peace that passes understanding. And I really think those are the ones that I have used the most in my own life and have encouraged others to use as well. In Philippians, it's just a great book in itself, and that chapter is great because even after that, it says to think on these things, whatever is pure and holy and lovely and righteous. It just lists things, and if you're thinking on those things, you don't have time to think about the negative things. You don't have time to focus your energy on all the things that are happening that are just circumstantial, that are just temporary, versus your permanent salvation that you have in the Lord. So those are definitely ones that I refer to often.
Yes, that's very true. Philippians 4:6-7 has always been one of my very favorite go-to verses. I've always found that to be really special.
Yeah, I love them. Mm-hmm. Verses were really the ones, when they did pass, that I prayed at night when it was hard for me to sleep. I would just pray them over and over again, not to worry about anything, but pray about everything. And I would tell God, please take this anxiety away from me. Please take this worry away from me. Because the enemy would want to tell you, well, if they pass, then that means your husband could be gone too. Well, if they pass, that means he could take your children too. You know, and your mind just constantly rolls and rolls and rolls. And I would have to just say, I would almost have to say out loud, stop, just stop and think about the good things. So yeah, they have definitely helped me out the most.
Blessing it is that we have
those scripture verses that we can fall back on and that we can help us realize that yes, God is there. And the example that I always loved of when we're facing adversity and why is this happening is the story of the tapestry, I guess, where we see the bottom part with all the icky threads that are hanging out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
he sees the top that is smooth and beautiful, and he knows what the final outcome is going to be, is what I'm trying to say. And that is so true. And there are so many things that, yeah, when you're going through it at the time, it's horrible and it's gut-wrenching and heartbreaking. But when you look back, and sometimes it takes years and years before we ever are able to see the good. And sometimes we never do. Sometimes we won't until we get to heaven. So knowing that it's all in God's hands is
what makes it bearable, I think.
I know when my dad was in the hospital and was on the ventilator, I would go there at night when my husband would get off of work. I would go there and just kind of put my hands on the brick wall and just pray, like, Lord, please heal my dad. Please let him come out of this. And just pray and sob for a miracle, you know, and would compose myself and get back in the vehicle and start to drive home. And then that dance kind of happens back and forth, like this little dance with faith and fear, like the thing that we just prayed for. Am I really believing that, or am I just preparing my heart for the worst if it doesn't happen? Like the man that said to Jesus, "Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief." I think the pandemic had a lot of us in that place. And so it was really just having to shut down fear and increase faith, helping my unbelief. Because, you know, in all things, he works for our good, called according to his purpose. So this was just a raw state that I was in when this happened. When we're in our most delicate state, I think that's when the Lord really does his work. I could feel him working his healing in my heart and my mind and encouraging me to go ahead and publish this, because, you know, it's sort of like I come from a small town, and I thought, who am I to publish a book? You know, no one knows who I am. who do I think I am trying to impress, trying to publish a book? And I didn't even know if my story was good enough to publish. It's kind of like, well, is that the enemy telling me that, or is that myself telling me that? And the Lord just kept encouraging me and encouraging me to do it, do it, do it, do it. Finally, my mom said, "What do you want for Christmas?" That was, you know, at the end of 2021. "What do you want for Christmas?" I'm like, I really just want to publish a book. And she's kind of like, "What?" And I said, you know, I want to publish this book, but it costs more than I have right now to do it. And so we did use some of the insurance money from my dad's policy to be able to publish it. So it just worked together, and I couldn't be more happy with the amount of people that are telling me that it's helped them and their kids and just their household.
Oh, that is really such a blessing, Brandy. Thank you for sharing all that with us. That is really neat.
Thank you. Thank you.
And see, you may never know all the people that are going to be in the little people and
their parents that read those books to them, and grandparents.
You just never know how many people you impact with that story. And it's not necessarily based on sales either, because a lot of times books get passed on to other people and you never
know that such and such a person read it because they didn't particularly buy it.
Right.
Yeah, you definitely
fulfilled a ministry there. And I have a feeling that you will continue to do so. I don't think you're going to write two children's books and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm done." There's too much creativity in you.
Yeah, every time I go to, I've spoken at probably 10 or 12 public schools now, and I'm allowed to go in and read this book to these school children. And every time when I'm done, I will ask for, you know, open it up to questions. And it never fails. Some kid will always say, "What's the next book? Who's next? Who are you going to write about next?"
Aww.
And so I do have ideas going forward. And I do have one about a Christmas story as well. Like you said, I don't know about writing a Christmas story. It seems like it's just a once a year type thing, but, you know, maybe we can just celebrate Christmas all year long with that one.
If you can spread a message to our young people that is a positive message about God's love and how we don't have to give in to fear, you've done a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Absolutely. I pray every time that I've had an idea about a book that God would just send it to the kids that need it the most, that are in situations that are unfathomable, probably, to us being raised in, or to me at least, being raised in a great home, just kids that deal with things I could never imagine, that it would touch them and let them know that there is hope and that there is someone that loves them unconditionally.
Yes. Well, Brandy, thank you so much for all that you shared and for spending time with us today. And may God continue to bless you in your ministry and also in your writing.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. It was a pleasure to be on. I pray the same for all your adventures as well. Thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, in closing, thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled PattySheene.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheene. Until next time, God bless you.